Here's a story that child advocates describe as too common. It's about a 5-year-old boy named Cesar, last initial S. In those 5 years, he's lived in 8 different Rhode Island foster or group homes. He's been beaten with a belt, sexually molested. He's never lived with anyone who would adopt him. Cases like his caused the Rhode Island child advocate to file a lawsuit against the state. Nancy Cook of member station WRNI reports that Cesar's story is not the only one of its kind.
Christina Rear is a 20-year-old college student with long, curly red hair. She was taken away from her parents when she was 17, but instead of moving in with foster parents or into a group home, she lived with a friend's mom and then slept on another friend's couch. Rear says her social worker never tried to visit either place.
All she said was, "We need a name of whom you're staying with, not why you left, what happened, nothing."
According to the federal lawsuit, 200 of Rhode Island's 3,000 foster kids currently live in homes that haven't been screened. Nothing bad happened to Rear. Some haven't been so lucky. Rhode Island's child advocate filed the lawsuit in late June because she says the local politicians didn't pay attention to these charges. Patricia Martinez directs Rhode Island's child welfare system. The agency has tried to make its foster care system better. It doesn't move kids around as much anymore. But Martinez says they haven't tackled everything.
The reforms that we have made in the last 2 years, I think, are huge. Are we there yet? No, we're not. Remember, the child welfare system is one that throughout the country is started in a deficit.
Even federal lawsuits can't solve all of these problems, according to a University of Chicago law professor. Dr. Gerald Rosenberg studies the way people have tried to use the courts to change state institutions like schools and prisons.
The problem that litigators face is that courts lack power. If a court says to a governor or an administrator, "You must do X," the court has no means to enforce that. Often what is at stake is financial resources. And if the state is unwilling to reorder its budget priorities, there's often very little that can be done.
Not so, says the national nonprofit Children's Rights. The group is part of the Rhode Island lawsuit and has settled cases in other states. Executive Director Marsha Robinson Lowry says the lawsuits have brought about change.
In all of the systems in which we have been involved, we've seen reform move forward, sometimes not as quickly as we would like. In every system which is under court-ordered reform, the rate of adoption has increased, there's been additional funding, the rate of abuse and care has decreased.
The former commissioner of the Jackson County, Missouri foster care system knows firsthand how these lawsuits can go. Gary Stengler now works as a national advocate for the Jim Casey Youth Opportunities Initiative. He says the lawsuits eat up a lot of time and money in legal fees, but he says at least they make people aware of these problems.
I think it's still somewhat mixed in terms of their impact, but I would say by and large the states do have to make more strenuous efforts to comply with both the requirements of the suit and in terms of bringing public attention and legislative attention to the issues around foster care.
After the Missouri lawsuit was settled, social workers received more training and kids were adopted much faster. But that took several years of negotiations and planning. So far, the Rhode Island governor has defended the state's child welfare agency. He says that the children named in the lawsuit are all safe. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Cook in Providence.